13 and 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. 1 Peter 2 and 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. All right. I could be wrong. I've been wrong lots of times. But if I'm not wrong, hold on. I want to help you for the next 30 or 40 minutes recognize your responsibility as the redeemed. I really do. I feel like the Lord would send us home. I know we thought we'd just kind of shout it down. We may not. God would have us to understand the magnitude of responsibility when you got redeemed. And I want to share some thoughts with you for a little while. And my message simply is called Creating a Climate for Deliverance. Creating a climate for deliverance. Jesus, help me now. My throat hurts. I'm tired. We need you. Would you bless these great people? They've sacrificed time and money to come. Oh Lord, help me to say something in the Spirit. Help me not to be brutal or unkind, or curt, or sharp, or sarcastic, that I might be offensive to anybody. God grant that I be kind. But help me, Lord, to be forceful and authoritative and strong to help the people of God to recognize our responsibility to create the climate. To create the climate. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you, Doctor. It is so important for you and I as Christians to understand that we have a responsibility because we're redeemed. We're living in a generation that does not want to be responsible for beans. That's why folks shack up with everybody. And if it don't work out, there's no responsibility. You're going to live with somebody else. Well, that's why saints become gypsies for Jesus. They go to a church, and their concept of Christianity is the church serves them. And as soon as they get put under the heat, it's time to get off your keister and do something for God. You get your feathers busted, go across town, or move someplace else. If you leave because of a problem, you're going to take that spirit with you. You've got to conquer what's eating your lunch. There needs to be a reason tonight for having church. Beyond your goosebump machine. Oh, I love going to that church. I get so blessed. I love to listen to that choir. That choir just blesses me. When are you going to give, slob? When are you going to contribute? You blood-sucking leech. When are you going to finally see your responsibility to create a climate? Why does the preacher have to move you? Why can't you move the preacher? Why do the singers and the musicians have to move you? Why can't your praise and worship move them to sing like never before? Sit down a second here. Now listen to me. We're in danger of a philosophy. Yeah. I am a very nice person. I really am. But it is wrong for you and I to arrive at Wednesday night Bible study or Sunday morning or Sunday night with the attitude created by TV bimbos. Okay, I've got my seat. Turn up the AC. Turn on the singing. Entertain me, Sloopy. The tragedy of television evangelism is it creates a congregation of watchers but not worshipers. The TV program serves the watcher. And that spirit has got to get away from us. When you come to service, we are not supposed to serve you. The singers are not supposed to sing for you. It is unto the Lord. And you are to create a climate that can deliver. See what I mean? Sit down. What are you doing? Hey, you cats that got adhesive tape on your backside, what are you doing? That's what I'm talking about. We got 400 people in here, and we got 65 people going. What are you doing, watcher? What are you doing, watcher? We got to create a climate of deliverance. We've got to create a power for God to move in. We've got to create an atmosphere that will let God deliver. Sit down just a second. There are folks that come to our services when this conference ends in a few minutes who are desperate, who are despondent, who are in despair. Many of them are having moral problems, financial problems, marital problems. I'll say it again, what I said today. We cannot afford one dead service. And you'll sit next to somebody that may be suicidal. that may be a pervert, that may be a wacko. And you alone have the potential to create a climate to deliver them. Well, I'm going to get downright nasty now. I pastor a great church. It's a great church. But every great church has got its fair share of dinghies. Yes, it does. And I've got people, while the choir sings, clip fingernails, pass babies, do homework, in and out of the potty 3 times. And if somebody's salvation depends on that bimbo, that poor slob's going to hell. We must create an atmosphere, a climate, that's conducive for the salvation of souls. We must be excited. We must be expressive. People, souls are depending on the climate. Sit down. Before I even get further, I'm telling you right now, I'm taking an extension. I got folks I pastor, Brother Crothers. Honey, you wouldn't get to first base with them. All that razzmatazz. Starts that dude on, sounds like Beethoven with the hiccups. I got some folks sit there, and the move of God depends on their approval. I believe the music is a little too jazzy. Well, since when did God die and leave you in charge of inspections? You're not supposed to be a critic. You're supposed to be a creator of a climate. You're supposed to be a creator of an atmosphere. You ought to show forth the praises of Him. Sit down. I'm sorry to keep you making do all these gymnastics. But I know what I'm talking about. Pastor, a great church. Got a great church. Have a great revival. But I got bimbos like you have bimbos. Sit there sucking their thumb. I was in the service the other day. Honey, you don't want me to your preacher. I was in the service the other day, Brother Hundley. Move up, God. Everything that can talk in tongues is talking in tongues. We were that close to baptizing a few mannequins. You talk about hyper faith. And I'm going to just tell you something, and I'm going to take a slap at some of you preachers that are a bunch of immobile monsters. You want your people to dance? You ought to dance. You want your people to shout? You ought to shout. You want your people to worship? You ought to worship. Like priests, like people, like shepherds, like sheep. I believe in it. Hold on, sit down a second. Sorry. Now listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. Move of God, Brother Johnson. A move of God. Choir spoke in the dark. Man, we got one of them Rollins and one of them DXs. My God, blue flames coming out of that dude. I got some young kids play the bass guitar. And they're kind of almost to the wrong. When that thing gets to smoking, some of them young punks, man, they get to hit. And when it gets a little too much, I'll just kind of turn around and go. I mean, the drummer gets... And I got people in the midst of a move of God. People getting the Holy Ghost. People getting healed who are out there judgmental. And the other day I walked off my platform. See, I just look stupid. I'm not stupid. And I walk down the auditorium. And then when I walk, I'm moving, baby. I got music in my body. I mean, I'm shaking. I'm talking in tongues. I'm jumping. All right. Honey, I'm going to tell you something. I don't even need the Holy Ghost to dance. David didn't have no Holy Ghost. Watch him dance. Some of you dudes, the reason why you don't dance, you've got this ignorant Pentecostal philosophy that says you're waiting on God to move you. You're supposed to create the climate. You're supposed to show forth the praises of Him. Sit down just a minute, please. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just me. But we're having... Brother Mooney, I see you back there hiding among the stuff. We're having a move of God, Doc. You're a pastor. Been a pastor for years. You know what your heart feels like when you see some people in your church who are going through hell. They're going through struggles. They're dry as a peanut butter sandwich in the Gaza Strip. They are dry up. And in your heart, you see the church responding. And you look, you know what you do? Every pastor locates the bimbo. You know why? Not because we hate you. Not because we want to damn you and ridicule you and embarrass you. But because we care for you. And we want you to be delivered. And we want you to be set free. And I walk down the aisle, and I'm just kind of juking and shuffling, man. I said, oh, yeah. And I walk over to Sister Dead Brain. And I'm just standing there talking to her, just like this. I said, hey, sis, what's the malfunction in your mind? You know what she said? Well, if you knew what I knew. I said, what do you know, ignorant? What do you know? Well, I'll tell you what I know. That girl that just sang that special, she cut her hair. You know what I said? So? Oh, I hurt you just then.
God have mercy.
Now you wonder what I believe. I said, you idiot. You mean after Calvary, Gethsemane, the resurrection, the pouring out of the Holy Ghost, the grace and mercy of God. You idiot. You withheld your praise from the King and refused to create a climate because somebody's made a mistake. You better be careful. When you don't praise God, God will replace you. God will replace you. God will get him a hippie that'll shout. God will get him a prostitute that'll dance. He don't need you. You gals, You aren't called to wear long hair and long dresses and long faces. You are called to create climate. Sit down. Now, we're just going to get crazy here. Now, watch me. I pastor people, good people. Watch this.
I'm just not emotional, okay?
I'm not very expressive. Watch them win the lottery. I won. I want a trip to Bimini. I want a trip to Honolulu. And they look at me, and I said, is that right? I want a trip to New Jerusalem. I said, I got eternal life. You're going to jump around over Bimini? I'm going to the city. You're called to create a climate. Sit down, say. I'm sorry. If you don't hear anything else I say right now, hear this. 2 Samuel chapter 24. Beware the spirit of Arana. Beware the spirit of Arana. The spirit of Arana has come from television and radio and secular Christianity. It's now way entrenched among us. Oh, yes, it is. The spirit of Arana is the one that says to you, you don't have to sacrifice. I'll provide everything for you so your religion costs you nothing. The Carruthers sing for you. Brother Arnold preaches for you. The custodian cleans the church for you. The nursery is manned for you. The AC is on for you. You just come in and sit your big keister on down, and we'll just do everything we can to get you feeling good. If it doesn't cost you anything, it is not sacrifice. Psalms 100 starts off with, make sometimes you gotta make. It ain't flowing. It ain't moving. You just gotta make. And he didn't say, Brother Henson, he didn't say a sound. He said a joyful sound. And the car broke down. And the septic tank backed up. And the roof is leaking. And your mother-in-law's moved in. And you're on your way to church, and you feel like you've been through hell. And you get there, and your carcass is dragging. Your rheumatism bugs you. Your arthritis bugs you. You got an Excedrin headache. And in your spirit, you say, well, I sure hope this preacher appreciates me carrying my hide here. I hope he's got a good one, because I'm too pooped to participate. And so when we say, let's worship the Lord, some just go, well, let's bless the Lord. I should have stayed home. Now I've got my favorite programs on. Why deal with the divine when you can deal with Dallas? honey. And the Christ of Calvary cometh among us with just two, walking the avenues of a church, wanting to bless and to strengthen. But you're non-committal to creating an atmosphere and climate binds His holy hands so He cannot deliver you. Let me ask you something, Flash. Who makes you get out of the sack to go to work? Honey, would you be honest with me tonight? Isn't it sometimes you get up in the mornings, your carcass is dragging, and you got to make yourself go? Honey, sometimes in the morning, I feel so cruddy, I can't hardly find a floor with my feet. I don't think anybody here jumps up in the morning and goes, "All right, another day to sweat and labor and wear my hide out. Oh, praise God. Man, it's so great to be up at 5 in the morning." No, most of us are waking up and we're just kind of... You look in the mirror and you say, "I don't know who you are, but I'm going to shave your face." And 3 cups of coffee later, and 1 that you have in your little mug that you put on the dashboard, and on your way to work, window roll down. You know why? Money's important to you. Do you hear me? Money is important. You need a revival of values. Do I gotta worship? No! I get to create a climate. I get to create an atmosphere. I'm privileged. Okay. It said, make a joyful noise. Force yourself sometimes. The biggest Pentecostal pygmy can feel an ounce of God when it flows like a river. You're no spiritual dynamo when the Holy Ghost invades a place like a B-47 and drops a bomb of glory in here and you go, "Oh, I feel God." The church is built on folks who come in service after service, don't feel an ounce of God, tired their body, wore out, brain floated down, and they say, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that He is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves." When you have to make it happen, it means so much to God. Just sit down. Just another minute. I know I'm not telling you anything new, but sometimes you just have to force yourself. I see old Job. Now, you ain't no virgin, Doc. You're no spiritual virgin. You're not the only one that's ever got your teeth knocked out. Old Job is standing on the dirt of fresh graves. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And old lady Job says, "What's the matter, man? You flipped your lid. Don't you know you only praise when it's going good?" Yeah. You mean you're going to create a climate for deliverance even though you've lost loved ones? You know why Job could do that? He was saying in his spirit, hell ain't in charge of nothing. Do you know that Job created an atmosphere and a climate for his own deliverance? In Job 42 it said, "And when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord turned his captivity again." He didn't need Lanny Wolf. He didn't need the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. He didn't need the Carruthers. He didn't need Jeff Arnold. You can do it yourself. I really believe the reason why some can't create a climate is they've got problems between them and others. You can't lift up blood-stained hands. You can't use a tongue that needs a driver's license to praise God. You can't damn and condemn everything that doesn't meet your criteria and then say, "Oh, I love you, Jesus. He's too smart for you."
All right.
Yeah. Let me go a little further. Simon Peter has one of his fits. He's in the garden. Goes wacko. Gets one of them kung fu swords. Chops that Malchus's ear. Slap off. Watch. Now watch this. You need to read it. The Bible said they had bound the Lord. They took him and bound him. Read it. And Malchus's ear is on the ground. Man, that'll preach convicting evidence. And the master says, "Suffer me so." You know what he said to him, actually? "Untie my hands a minute." And when they untied his hands, he healed Malchus's ear. And said, "Because you were willing to untie my hands, I've just destroyed the evidence that could have killed Simon Peter." Some of us bind the deliverer's hands and won't let him work among us because of our attitudes.
All right.
Here's all I'm trying to tell you. I know you're tired. Before I became a preacher, I used to work for a living. That's true. Man, I'm on this gravy now. Once or twice a week, 100, 200,000 a year. Huh, tremendous. 10, 12 weeks a year vacation. Sleep late, never pray, never fast, just read books. But there was a time when I worked 8 and 10 hours a day unloading freight trucks. Worked so hard in the back end of semi-trailers, the salt used to stick on my britches from the sweat that came out of me. And in those days, we had 6-night-a-week revivals for 10 weeks. And I didn't miss one night. And I still cut the lawn every week, still cleaned the bathrooms. My wife vacuumed the church, and we were committed to the work of God. Tired? Oh, son. Exhausted? Jesus, have mercy. Felt like lifting your hands? No. Felt like saying, "Praise God." I'd go into that church sometime. "Dear God, man, I'm so tired." I just sit there and I go, "Oh, God, I'm so tired." And then I just say, "Wait a minute. He was tired. He was so tired, they had to borrow somebody to help him with the cross. And he kept trucking. Moving towards a hill." Honey, listen to me. We, every one of us, are the direct result of the grandest sacrifice this universe has ever known. Would we dare give Him less? Because you don't feel like it? Because the music hasn't moved you? I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my... You say, Brother Arnold, you're a hypocrite. No, I'm just faking until I make it. That's right. And sometimes I lift my hands and my flesh says, put your hands down. And sometimes I clap, my flesh says, it's so ignorant. And sometimes the preachers ask me, come on, let's leap for joy. I get the jump and I'm going, God, my sack really acts going to rupture in a second, man. Go ahead and laugh. You're only moved by what you feel. I'm moved by what I know. All praise means something to God. But sacrificial praise really means something to God. I refuse to let this flesh dictate its will to my spirit. I will not let this body keep my spirit from worshiping. And if it gives me a hard time, I'll beat it. Every time I go to pray, my flesh says, oh, come on, later. Every time I set the alarm for 5:30 to go to 6 o'clock prayer, my flesh says, you can pray tonight. Now, all you spiritual giants, you don't understand what I'm saying. But every time I try to move in a sacrificial plane towards God, my flesh declares war. God has helped me to understand I have been called to create a climate for deliverance. Oh boy. Well, I'm going to say a couple of things and close. I ain't started. Don't ever believe you were saved to serve. Anybody tells you that, just tell them they don't understand what they're saying. We use that term all the time. I was saved to serve. No, you were not. Oh, yes, I was saved to serve. No, you weren't. Oh, yes, I'm going to serve the Lord. Now, listen to me, because I'm going to get brutal right now. I saved to serve God. You ninny. You wasn't saved to serve. You were saved to worship. And if you worship, the offspring of real worship is service. We have people who serve but don't worship. Activity is not spirituality. We got the chicken dinner crew. We got the peanut brittle crew. We got the fundraising crew. Where's the worshiping crew? I'm going to create an atmosphere that somebody can get the Holy Ghost. I'm going to create an atmosphere that faith can flow and somebody will be saved. So crazy, I'm going to create a hunger and a thirst in somebody to want to know what I got. Sit just a second, please. Psalms 50 and 23 says, whoso offereth praise unto me, glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. Now that tells me that your salvation is tied into your mouth. Well, God knows I loves Him. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I got a shapely, good-looking redhead who smells good, loves good, kisses good, hugs good, squeezes good, looks fine. I mean, I ain't got no big tub of lard. I got a fine-looking mama. And you know what she likes to do with me? She likes to hear me. Now, how stupid can you be to say, "Here, honey, I love you. I bought you a washing machine." "Why, you know I love you, honey. I bought you a sewing machine. Here, honey, here's another trinket for you." And every once in a while, old Trish just says, "You love me." And I'm so ignorant sometimes. "I love you. I come home every night, don't I?" There's something about them women. Yeah. Them women want to get that ooey gooey. They look at you with them kind of... You know, a man will just say, "Yeah, I love you. Where's my dinner?" But a woman will just kind of goo-goo eye you, put on that stinky perfume, just say, "You love me, honey." And you better not give her one of them. "Yeah, right. I got to go cut the lawn." Because sometimes she just wants to hear you say, when you're sweaty and stinky and tired and your nose is buried in the paper, she just push the paper down and say, "Tell me." And you get the tone in her voice and the twinkling fire in her eye. And you say, "This be serious." And you say to her, "Yeah, I love you." And she'll look at me and my tone changes. "You know I love you." And she still looks. And then she realizes I'm not playing no more. And I'll get up and put a big old smacker on her. I'll hug the dickens out of her. And I'll say, "Honey, you're the best thing ever happened to me since the Holy Ghost." And I said, "I love you. And there ain't nobody else." And boy, you talk about some smooching and some heavy romance. Now you say, "Oh, that's crazy." Really? Well, let me just draw you an analogy. The lover of your soul is here every service.
All right.
And sometimes, it's not that he doesn't appreciate your music. And he doesn't appreciate your ability. Sometimes, he just walks the aisles, Brother Huntley, and walks up to you and says, "Now, Wade, do you love me?" And sometimes you got to stop all the baloney and just say, and when we do that as a congregation, there can be created such an atmosphere for deliverance that every habit can be broken. And every shackle and chain and fetter can be cast down. And sinners and unrighteous cannot stand in the congregation of the godly. Because there's a romance going on. There's a love affair going on. From the Redeemer and the redeemed. From the royal and the offspring. From those who are saved from bondage. To Him who bought us with a glorious price. You have the privilege of creating an atmosphere. And I'm not trying to drag this thing out, but I'm not yet to the climax of this thing. I feel it in my spirit. We're still not there. And I'm not preaching for your response. I was a good preacher before I came here. I'll be a good preacher when I leave. Anybody preaches this gospel is a good preacher. I gave up on people's opinions ever since everybody ate my lunch. Your opinion and 50 cents buys coffee. There's only one opinion that matters to me. I'm listening to hear, well done, well done, well done. That's the opinion that I want to hear. I don't care what you think of me. You ain't worth a hill of beans. You didn't die for me. You didn't shed your blood for me. You didn't give me the Holy Ghost. Sit down just one more minute. We'll try to finish. David said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Sinners do not know how. Listen to me. I don't say they're devil possessed, but they have evil spirits on them. And they bind them so they can't praise. And they can't exalt. And they can't worship. That's why they need you so desperately. And when you sit in a service, and I sit in a service because we're tired or we're preoccupied with going fishing or a problem. I'm going to just confess right now. So you don't think I'm Superman's mother. I'm going to confess right now. I just went through a bunch of crud in my church. I built a brand new church. Had 67 people lose me in 10 months. 67 people just walked out and said, drop dead fat, so goodbye. Pay for the church yourself, slime bucket. Go ahead. And I had some people raised them who came with me, giving me a bunch of trash, writing me hate mail, wouldn't even sign the dumb letters. Telling my wife she's an ungodly idiot and my kids a spoiled brat and all kinds of crud. Man, you talk about turning on you. And I'm sitting on the platform. Now watch. Confessions of a great preacher. Watch. Sitting on the platform. Come on, crothers. Let's get the music. Come on, praise singers. Let's get with it. Let's worship the Lord. And in walks Bimbo. And for 25 minutes, I'm telling that slob off. Would you put your hands down, you hypocrite? You couldn't tell the truth standing on the Bible looking at Jesus. If you got the Holy Ghost, roaches got the Holy Ghost. And I mean, we're having a worship service, but I'm having a funeral. Laugh all you want to. I ain't alone. And God is my witness. This happened to me just a few months ago. Sitting on the platform, going through my pastoral tantrum. And I'm just going, if I didn't have the Holy Ghost, I'd punch your teeth out, you slob. In fact, I think I'm going to put your tithe record up on the bulletin board just to show what a hypocrite you are. And I mean, these folks are singing their guts out. And folks are doing everything they can to worship. But they notice there's something wrong with JW. And say what you want to, Pastor. You do affect your flock. And I'm sitting there and I'm doing a burn, Doc. And God talked to me. And said, where's my praise? Where's my worship? And I started reasoning with him. I got this problem. I got this situation. I got to take care of this church because you can't take care of it. Because you're building worlds and things. And I don't want to bother you with this slime bucket. I'll take care of him. And God, I'm telling you, boy, you talk about getting beat up. God just kept going. Who was Calvary for, Jeffrey? Me. Who was Gethsemane for, Jeffrey? Me. Who was I brutalized and butchered and beaten half to death for, Jeffrey? Me. Where's my praise? And Doc. Snotting and slobbering and crying and boo-hooing. I rose from my seat and began to just cry out loud and magnify God. And I said, God, from this day, don't ever let me be affected by people who are substandard. I don't want to be affected by them. I love them. I will pray for them. If they want to play the hypocrite, Job said the hypocrite's hope shall perish. I'll just let them alone because my business is with Jesus. And your business is with Jesus. And sinners need you to create a climate. Okay, I gotta finish. I'm belaboring the point. We used to play a little game when we was kids. What goes up must come down. Man, if you send up praise, Jericho's walls come down. I told Brother Huntley a little thought. I said, I'm gonna just share it, but you can go preach it anyway. You know, the minute Miriam stopped dancing, she started eating the preacher. She took a tambourine and led people in worship. When she stopped playing the tambourine and dancing, she started damning and criticizing Moses for his marriage. The minute praise stops coming out of your mouth, puke will. Well, I'm going to just ask you right now. Have you created a climate for someone to get saved in the service? Are you still sucking your thumb? I got people that can't forgive folks. They're still bleeding over some dumb thing that happened 20 years ago. Every time something happens and somebody bumps their little scab, it's all open again. Well, if you only knew what they did to me. If you only knew the hell and the sorrow they put me through. What's that got to do with you and Calvary? Say, listen here, bimbo. Your sins put Jesus on Calvary. Unforgiving spirits. You can't create a climate for deliverance when you have an unforgiving spirit. Holding antagonisms against people because they rubbed you the wrong way. Of course you're going to have personality clashes. You don't always see things alike. But when you come here, you got one job. Okay, wait, we're going to finish. We're going to finish. I really believe the Lord wants this thing to blow sky high. Jehoshaphat's story, read it in 2 Chronicles. He sent the choir in front of the army to create an atmosphere for deliverance. You know why we have the biggest number of backsliders in our churches from music? Because first off, they lead in praise. So they are the first ones to be attacked by enemies. Secondly, you can play and not pray. Now I'm just telling you about me. I got a great church. I have a great church. But the biggest battle I have in my church is to get my singers and musicians in the prayer room. Because they'll come from 5 to 5:30 or 4:30 to 5:30 for an hour and juke and jamboree and bang the walls off and peel off the wallpaper. And I'll walk in at 5:30. Here I am representing Law and Order in Dodge City. Let's go. It's time to pray. I've been practicing here for now. What are we going to pray about? We know the words to the song. Well, you better consecrate that talent before it kills you. Because the most carnal people in my church are people who can do things. Choir members that don't pray. Guitar pickers that don't pray. My God, we're not any better than the world. We have to have a commitment and a consecration and a dedication. Okay, we're finishing. Praise glorifies God and sets the stage for deliverance. I told you the story of Jehoshaphat. When they began to sing in praise, the Lord sent ambushments against their enemies. It was a great deliverance. But you don't need a choir to get delivered. One guy could do it. I see poor backslidden preacher named Jonah living in the first submarine. Engineered and built by God. He's down the bottom of the ocean. Lights out. Lonely. A failure. Guilty. Ashamed. Watch this. He's in that whale's belly. He said, ain't but one way out of here. Great is the Lord. And greatly to be praised. The Lord God is a God of honor and truth, faithful in all His ways. I'm wrong, you're right. Forgive me, O Lord. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. Oh, great is the Lord. Honey, He filled His dungeon with praise and experienced a personal resurrection. Sit one more second. Now that didn't do for you what it did for me. I was in the hotel there a little while ago praying for this message. And something came on me. And I run about 3 times through the room. And poor people next to me think I'm out of my tree. Man, I'm in there talking in tongues. And I don't know, maybe you just pray standing still. I'm a mobile unit. I'm moving. And I'm just there, and the more I feel God, the faster I walk. Yeah, right. And I'm just walking, I'm saying, oh God, give me something to help these great people tonight. Help me, Jesus. And all of a sudden he goes, I go, hey, Lord. I said, tell me what you want me to say. I'll say anything you want me to say. He just kind of gave me just this thought about Jonah. And I'm going, yeah, what about Jonah? Come on, tell me about Jonah. I know a little bit about him. What about Jonah? And I see him in my mind. He's in that whale's belly. Man, that dude's down as low as you can get. Alone with his own failure, his own decisions. And all of a sudden, the Lord just kind of showed me. The guy started creating an atmosphere for deliverance. And he confesses his failure. And he boasts on God's power. And the Lord gave me these three thoughts. Jonah opened his mouth in praise, which caused me to open my mouth in authority, and finally caused his prison to open its mouth. You can be delivered from any cell if you will create an atmosphere of praise. Come on, you might as well stand up. I can't keep preaching. Do not let your flesh silence your lips. For with confession is made unto salvation. Son, I wish I had me another hour. No. I love to tell you the story of deliverance at midnight in Philippi with two jailed, brutalized preachers in chains, alone, and all they did was good. And they're sitting there, and I see old Silas. Man, that old Roman guy just gave him a kung fu job, a couple of shots to the head. I've seen him kick old Paul. Drag them dudes into the inner prison. Put chains on them. Stocks on them. You see them in the middle of midnight. Old Sal. His little eye. All busted up. Lip all sticking out. Good God, my ribs hurt so bad. I can see old Paul just looking. How you doing, Sal? I'm not doing too bad. How you doing? Well, I tell you what, this deliverance business is getting rough. And he's sitting there. But Marie, he's just sitting there. Feels like praising. Feels like saying, thank you, Jesus. What you gonna do, Paul?
I think I'm gonna sing.
Why are you gonna sing? Because it's gonna mean so much to God in the state I'm in. It's going to turn God on. When you don't feel like it, do it anyway. When you're not up to it, do it anyway. I feel the wind. Somebody get healed right now. Somebody get delivered right now. I will bless the Lord at all times. Continually be in my mouth.
No, wait. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Wait a minute. Your homework assignment, class, is Acts 2. I'm going to show you something. Never heard anybody in the United Pentecostal Church preach this yet. That doesn't mean somebody hadn't preached. I just said I ain't heard it preached. Bible said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, fell one mind, one place, one accord. Wait a minute. Suddenly there came from heaven the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Correct? Is my theology right? Watch. And it filled all the house first. You missed it. We always say, and they all got the Holy Ghost. No, no. The house got the Holy Ghost first. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. What had happened? The atmosphere became charged with deliverance. And once the atmosphere is charged, it's easy for individuals to get charged. And it sat upon each of them. What's good for the house is good for this house. What's good for the house is good for this house. Create an atmosphere for deliverance. Okay. Time for me to go home. It's been a real ball being up here in Hoosier Land. And my parting thought, of course, is I'm not done. But your second homework assignment is Acts 16. Because I just, oh God. Brother Baxter, chains, lonely, dejected, swollen lips, closed eyes, sore ribs. What you gonna sing, Paul? Oh, I'm gonna sing that song that I sang down there in Lystra. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of care. Washed in the blood of Jesus, been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved. Now wait a minute, they're doing that and the chains are going ching-a-ling-a-ling, ching-a-ling-a-ling. Ching-a-ling-a-ling. And all of a sudden Paul says, I like that beat, Silas. Bring it up another octave. Every one of you are now under condemnation for not raising your hands when you have no chains. And they shake those chains. Wait a minute. They shake the chains. God shakes the prison. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. See, you thought I was over. I just wanted you to stand up for a second. The Bible says, suddenly there's an earthquake. Any idea why there's an earthquake? I'm going to tell you. Save you 4 years in Bible school. I'm going to tell you right now. The Bible says, everything I preach is Bible doctrine. The Bible says, heaven is His throne. And they're offering up this beat. Ching-a-ling-a-ching. energy. And God starts going. Earth's his footstool. How do you talk about jailhouse rock? The Bible says the prison doors were open. Watch this now. And the prisoners had heard them. Wait a minute. And all the prisoners' chains came off. You're creating a climate. Is it just for your liberty? If you create a climate, somebody else will go free.